It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. The French History Podcast is brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts. History, pop culture, news, whatever it is you're looking for, Evergreen has the best of it. Check out their catalog on evergreenpodcasts.com. Chapter 11, Eden's End.
This other radiance that shows itself to you at my right hand, a brightness kindled by all the light that fills our heaven, she has understood what I have said. She was a sister, and from her head, too, by force, the shadow of the sacred veil was taken. But though she had been turned back to the world against her will, against all honest practice, the veil upon her heart was never loosed. This is the splendor of the great Costanza, who, from the Swabians' second gust, engendered the one who was their third and final power. Dante Alighieri, The Divine Comedy, Paradiso, Third Canto. The Muslims of the island suffer, amongst other tribulations, one that is very sore. Should a man show anger to his son, or his wife, or a woman to her daughter, the one who is the object of displeasure may perversely throw himself into a church and there be baptized and turn Christian. Then there will be for the father no way of approaching his son, or the mother her daughter. Conceive now the state of one so afflicted in his family, or even in his son. The dread of their falling to this temptation would alone shorten his life. The Muslims of Sicily, therefore, are most watchful of the management of their family and their children in case this should happen. The most clear-sighted of them fear that it shall chance to them all, as it did in earlier times to the Muslim inhabitants of Crete. There a Christian despotism so long visited them with one painful circumstance after the other, that they were all constrained to turn Christian. Only those escaping whom God so decided. But the word of chastisement shall fall on these infidels. God's will shall prevail. There is indeed no God but He. Ibn Jubayr, The Travels of Ibn Jubayr.
Guillaume II, the Good, died on the 11th of November, 1189. He had left his followers specific instructions to submit to his aunt Constance as their new leader and not his illegitimate cousin Tancred of Lecce. He should have known that outside of the battlefield, the Normans were not good at following orders, though in fairness, they did have a legitimate grievance with Constance. 4 years prior, she had married Heinrich, son of the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick I Barbarossa. While Constance would rule during her lifetime, any heir she had would be part of House Hohenstaufen, not Hauteville. The Norman aristocracy in Italy had fought the Germans for over a century to win their autonomy. The idea that what the Normans won by blood, they would lose by marriage, infuriated them. Pope Clement III was likewise worried about the possibility of having German power on his northern and southern borders. Vice Chancellor Matteo Aiello agreed with the notables and led the familiares to support Tancred. Fortunately for the rebellious nobility, Constance was in Germany with her husband when the king died. Heinrich had been left in charge of the Holy Roman Empire while his father fought in the Third Crusade. The Italo-Norman aristocracy pulled off a mostly bloodless coup and made Tancred their new king, crowning him in early 1190. A handful of loyalists rallied around Roger of Andria, who led a rebellion in favor of Constance, but he was easily defeated and executed. The most powerful of Tancred's opponents remaining in the kingdom was Jeanne of England, who was Guillaume II's widow and had vast territories, which she inherited as part of her dowry. Moreover, Jeanne was well-connected. Her older brother was Richard Coeur de Lion, in English, Richard the Lionheart, King of England, Duke of Normandy, Aquitaine and Gascony, Count of Anjou, Poitiers, Nantes, and Maine, and a fair number of other titles. Jeanne did not raise an army or lead an uprising against Tancred, but she vocally condemned his seizure of power. Tancred had Jeanne confined to the Ziza Palace and seized her dowry. On the 10th of June, Frederick Barbarossa drowned while traveling to Acre. This made Heinrich heir to the empire. However, Heinrich had many affairs to settle before he could invade southern Italy. In the meantime, Tancred had to deal with some unexpected guests. That September, Kings Richard I of England and Philippe II of France arrived in Messina with their armies en route to join the Third Crusade. The Messinians were famously hostile to foreigners, particularly from the north. The locals fought with small groups of soldiers, prompting reprisals. The fighting escalated into open warfare. The French and English armies easily defeated the Messinians and proceeded to sack the city, plundering, burning, raping, and killing at will. After the initial outburst of violence, the Crusader kings brought order to their men and assumed control of the eastern Greek capital. The recently crowned King of Sicily could only watch as the two kings ravaged the eastern coast of his island. That is, until the emissaries arrived. Richard sent messengers to Palermo with a long list of demands. First, he demanded compensation for the violence that the Messinians inflicted on his soldiers. He further demanded that Jeanne be freed from her palatial imprisonment and her dowry restored to her. His list went on. In the words of historian Jacqueline Alio, on his sister's behalf, Richard further demanded a golden throne to which she was entitled, along with 24 silver goblets and plates. For himself, he wanted a golden table, a silk pavilion large enough to cover 200 knights seated at dinner, and some ships and provisions. Tancred immediately released Jeanne, who joined her brother. The King of Sicily tried to stall for time over the dowry, hoping that Richard would leave in short order. When Richard's demands were not met promptly, he built a castle overlooking Messina. Tancred took the hint and gave back much, though not all, of her dowry. Richard then met Tancred at Catania, where they made peace. Richard and his army wintered in Messina, much to the people's chagrin. In March 1191, the Crusaders finally sailed eastward, along with Jeanne, who later went to France, where she met and married Raymond VI, Count of Toulouse. No sooner had one hostile occupying force left than another arrived. Heinrich and Constance traveled to Rome, and on Easter they were crowned Emperor and Empress of the Holy Roman Empire. Then they continued southward to conquer southern Italy. The Germans won a number of victories, and Constance took control of Salerno, capital of the southern half of the peninsula. However, Heinrich's army suffered heavy casualties during the siege of Naples. Then the old scourge of disease struck the German camp. Beset by 3 of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, Emperor Heinrich retreated northward to put down a rebellion in Saxony. In his absence, the cities he had conquered switched their allegiances back to Tancred, including Salerno, whose inhabitants captured Constance. The Salernites sent Constance to Messina, where Tancred received the Holy Roman Empress as his prisoner. Despite her situation, she remained defiant and rebuked Tancred for taking what was rightfully hers. From Messina, Constance went to Palermo, where she was held hostage in the Gionardo. Tancred ordered the palace servants to treat Constance with all honors. He hoped to pacify Constance and her husband by patronizing her lavish lifestyle while simultaneously threatening her should she and the emperor act against him. While Tancred returned to affairs of state, his wife, Queen Sybil, acted as Constance's jailer. He had hoped that the two would become friends and had the women eat together and even share a bedroom. The rival women did not develop a healthy relationship. Constance was beloved by the people, and Sybil grew jealous. The queen told Tancred that Constance should be executed, or at least thrown into a dungeon, not held in honor for dissidents to rally around. Tancred had enough sense not to harm his relative and endured his wife's displeasure. Emperor Heinrich tried to accomplish through diplomacy what he had failed to do militarily. He petitioned Pope Celestine III to recognize Constance as the rightful ruler of the Kingdom of Sicily and Tancred a pretender. The Pope wanted to improve relations with Heinrich while simultaneously fearing what would happen to the papal states should the Hohenstaufens take control of the kingdom at his southern border. Celestine took a middle road. He did not proclaim anyone the rightful ruler of Sicily, but he did threaten Tancred with excommunication if he kept Constance hostage. Tancred folded to his holiness and released Constance, who traveled north to meet her husband in 1192. Eating well is living well, and there's no easier way to eat well than with Factor. Factor delivers fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They have many options such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, perfect to fit any diet. In addition to their main courses, they also provide snacks and wellness shots, a personal favorite of mine. With premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and truffle butter, they have a wide range of dishes that will keep you satisfied throughout the week. Head to factormeals.com/FrenchHistory50 and use the code FrenchHistory50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's FrenchHistory50 at factormeals.com/FrenchHistory50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Sign up today. Your stomach will thank you. Tancred then crowned his 27-year-old son, Roger III, co-king and heir to the throne. He then arranged a marriage between Roger and Irene Angelina, daughter of the Byzantine emperor Isaac Angelos II. Roger's future looked bright. He was set to inherit one of the greatest kingdoms in the Mediterranean and finally unite the ruling houses of Norman Italy and the Eastern Roman Empire. Then, on Christmas Eve 1193, Roger died. On the 20th of February 1194, Tancred followed him after succumbing to illness. In the wake of these sudden deaths, the nobility proclaimed Tancred's son, the 8-year-old Guillaume III, king under the regency of his mother, Sybil. That summer, Heinrich launched a second invasion of the kingdom with money he had raised from ransoming Richard I, King of England, who one of his vassals had captured as he returned from the Holy Land. The emperor seized Naples in August. The rest of the Lower Peninsula and the island rapidly surrendered to him. Queen Sybil tried to organize the defense of Palermo, but its citizens refused to die for a ruler they did not love. On the 20th of November, 1194, they welcomed Heinrich's forces into the city with the promise that Constance would be their new queen. The queen was then on her way through Italy, albeit at a slower pace, as she was heavy with child. On Christmas Day, Heinrich had himself crowned King of Sicily in a ceremony that Sibyl and Guillaume III were forced to attend. The following day, Constance gave birth to a son, Frederick II. Initially, Heinrich let the deposed Guillaume keep Toronto in exchange for renouncing his claim to kingship, but shortly after ascending to power, Heinrich claimed that Sibyl and the boy were plotting against him. He seized their lands and sent them to a prison beyond the Alps. Sibyl and her daughters eventually made it to France. Guillaume's fate is unknown, though some sources claim the boy was blinded and castrated. Heinrich then had Sibyl's brother hanged as payback for capturing Constance at Salerno during the first invasion. As a final act of vengeance, Heinrich had Tancred's tomb removed from the Magione Cathedral and destroyed. Heinrich had no intention of honoring his promise to leave the Kingdom of Sicily to its own devices. The German ruler petitioned the Pope to recognize the union of the kingdom with the Holy Roman Empire, even offering to launch another crusade as compensation. The incorporation of the Kingdom of Sicily into the Holy Roman Empire was a strange idea, given that the two states were so different. The Southern Kingdom was one of the single largest countries in Europe at the time, with a unified code of law. Meanwhile, the Holy Roman Empire was possibly the most confusing conglomeration of states in human history, comprising hundreds of different polities, each with their own laws, and only vaguely united under the martial power of a central monarch. The Pope refused Heinrich's audacious plan to unify the two states, but the German emperor still used his southern kingdom to assert claims across the Mediterranean. He declared suzerainty over Cyprus, whose governor had broken away from the Eastern Roman Empire, and even claimed territories in Greater Greece that the Normans had previously conquered. Then, Heinrich was humbled when his Pisan vassals lost a naval battle against Venice, ending his unrealistic claims to Greek territories. Heinrich's kingship had a major impact on the Norman Kingdom of Sicily. The emperor increasingly put Germans in positions of power, while raising taxes on the wealthy lords to pay for his wars. Furthermore, he was not as tolerant towards non-Christians as the Normans had been, and the Muslims of the island were harassed like never before. These harsh actions led to a rebellion in 1197. Heinrich traveled to Sicily to put down the rebellion, at which point he fell ill, possibly of malaria, and died on the 28th of September, 1197, at the age of 31. Heinrich's death calmed tensions, since his possessions split, with his brother becoming the Holy Roman Emperor, while Constance ruled the Kingdom of Sicily. After being promised Constance for 8 years, the beloved queen finally ruled in her own right. Constance was regularly ill, and her reign was short, though she did everything she could in the limited time left to her. She had the nobles recognize her son as the rightful heir. She named Pope Innocent III as the boy's guardian and granted him an annual payment of 30,000 gold tari as a means of calming His Holiness' fears about being politically encircled. On the 27th of November, 1198, Constance died, 1 month before Frederick's fourth birthday. She was the last Norman ruler of the kingdom. The queen's death symbolically marked the end of the kingdom that the Normans had created. When Robert Guiscard and Roger Boso conquered southern Italy and Sicily, they created a whole new country made up of Normans, Italians, Lombards, Greeks, Arabs, Berbers, and Jews, following Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, Islam, and Judaism, and speaking a variety of languages. Throughout the Normans' rule, the pluralism of the country slowly declined due to soft pressure, though each community coexisted in relative peace, perhaps more so than anywhere else on Earth. Hohenstaufen rule brought about the swift end of non-Catholicism and non-Romance languages through royal policy. Frederick II patronized the Sicilian language while pushing Arabic into a small minority language. Greek practically ceased to exist on the island within a few generations. Norman French declined at court in favor of German. The once thriving Islamic population was harshly repressed. Rich Muslims and intellectuals fled the island. Those that could not followed one of two paths. They could convert to Christianity or join an armed resistance. The devout Muslims of Sicily used the rocky terrain of the island to set up bases in the countryside where they could defend themselves and live free of Christian dominance. But these were hopelessly outnumbered. When Frederick came of age, he was determined to end Islam within the kingdom. In the 1220s, he deported tens of thousands of Sicilian Muslims to Apulia, most notably to the city of Lucera. There the Muslims lived in ghettos, where they could be sequestered, monitored, and controlled. In Sicily, Frederick crushed the autonomous Muslim communities in the hills, destroying the last holdout in 1246. Under Hohenstaufen rule, Eden was no more. The German lords stamped out the cosmopolitan kingdom and transformed the country into one more Latinate Christian realm. Some remnants of the great Norman kingdom lingered. There were the monuments and legal codes. There remained Jewish communities who continued speaking Arabic into the 15th century. But the country's uniqueness was a thing of the past. Frederick overhauled the laws to make himself an absolute monarch. The Hohenstaufen and later Angevin rulers built palaces and cathedrals in the mainland European style and imposed local Romance language on the population. Moreover, the kingdom declined in relative power in the Mediterranean due to the rise of northern Italian city-states, notably Venice, Genoa, and Pisa. If the great Norman kingdom was no more, its political accomplishments remained. From its foundation in 1130, with the crowning of Roger I, the Kingdom of Sicily lasted until Italian unification in 1860. The country had many rulers from many houses, and from 1816 to 1860, its name changed to the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies, despite only having one Sicily. Yet it remained one of the longest-lasting polities in European history.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis, introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939, when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era, like Cuba and Vietnam, and I'll unpack the conspiracy theories too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.